The city of Sydney, home of corruption, loose money and sleaze.
Do not enter the city.
It's the city where everybody fails upwards. The city where you can't walk 5 metres without somebody selling you drugs, Botox, or fucking gelato Messina. And in this glittering glory hole, it takes a keen eye to separate the haves from the have-mores. Separate the dodgy property developers from the really, really dodgy property developers. It takes a team who knows Sydney so well that they've had the good sense to broadcast this show from an entirely different city altogether.
Ladies and gentlemen,
on Sydney's Triple M, this is Radio Chaser.
Plenty of drama in the paper today. The most Sydney story ever. Just, I don't even have any jokes about this, guys. I've just got the story. I'm just going to read the story out of the Sydney Morning Herald. A Bondi model, George Gurges, sounds a lot like gorgeous. Gorgeous George admits to delivering cocaine to more than 1,000 customers. There are so many beautiful details about how Sydney really works here.
As beautiful as gorgeous George.
He's a big guy. He looks like Drax the Destroyer in the Guardians of the Galaxy with his shirt off. So many things. One of his objections that they managed to bring out, he complained that one of the drivers in his drug syndicate was scaring off the girls because he had a ponytail and looked like a junkie. So it's good. You got to turn out your best when you're doing a drug.
You really don't want to upset your drug buying customers with the image of someone who's really into drugs. How dare you offend me
with
a junkie-looking driver while I'm being a junkie buying your product?
Yeah, the junkie-looking driver should be working in an inner west cafe. I mean, that's where they ought to be. Or maybe a jeans store. They kind of have it.
If they do legalise drugs, that's what they do, though. I mean, in the same way that you put the sticker of the tooth decay on the ciggy packet, they should get junkies on the verge of death handing out heroin. That would be a helpful warning, I would have thought.
Plain packaging? Are you in favour of that for heroin? It's packaged so glamorously. I think it's a disgrace. It should just be in a boring white box.
I think it is. They are normally in just plain baggies. What? But I'd like to think George, gorgeous George, probably brought a little bit of glamour to the baggie. Did he put little photos of him? If you take this drug, you could too look like me, a model no one's heard of, but that doesn't stop the press calling me a model.
Well, he got busted with his gym bag in the car. So there's probably another dodgy powder in there in the form of a protein supplement as well.
I heard he got busted with half the product down his underpants.
Yeah, extraordinary. Yeah, he had 40 bags of coke hidden in his undies. Now, 110 just, in the
was,
gym bag.
That was just his for personal use,
now,
I think.
Most people, if you're having impotence issues, you take Viagra to get it up. You don't give your dick coke. Like, I'm sure that would give it a bit of a buzz.
Helpful advice here on Radio Chaser.
Give your penis some confidence. I mean, you know.
Confidence.
Only needs it for a few minutes.
I guess it could go to an advertising conference and be a dick with everyone else who's there.
Hey.
There's so many more details. 1,015 customers in the inner city in eastern suburbs. Who would have thought they were the people buying coke from a Bondi model? And
now, Tom, 1,000, is that just one afternoon? That was just Logie's night?
It was about 3 months. But what I love here is that he got very upset with a buyer, really just wasn't happy with the buyer. In Mascot, which is so far from the city. And the buyer turned out to actually be an undercover cop. He kept saying, I can't keep coming all the way out here to Mascot, you know?
I'm fine with the fact you're an undercover cop, but could you please be more convenient about where I meet you for these stings?
Well, this is what makes it, for me, a truly Sydney story, which is that, you know, it involves everything. It involves coke, it involves models, it involves fast cars, but importantly, it involves traffic jams. That's the thing that's Sydney about this, is getting out to Mascot is a hassle.
It is.
But you actually do need 40 bags of coke in your pants just to survive the trip out there. You've consumed it by the time you get out there.
Haven't we all thought to ourselves, anywhere around the city, and this is what he said, Surrey Hills, Woolloomooloo, something like that, bro. I just can't come here, bro. Like, I've missed 5 now. The traffic is so bad coming to Mascot, bro. He's selling it to an air traffic controller, I suppose. I don't know.
I just feel a little bit sorry for his client base. I mean, you know, obviously our hearts go out to gorgeous George. His modelling career is in tatters. He may never be on the Victoria's Secret catwalk again.
He may have to take his clothes off again, depending on what happens with the court case.
But I feel sorry for his customers, because did they ever know that every time they were hunched over his product, snorting it through a $50 note, they were kind of sniffing something that had been next to his balls for half an hour.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
Amazing story last week. A chariot race against a Ferrari, extraordinarily enough, in Italy. Andrew, you've been looking into this. You're a fan of the fast car, aren't you?
I'm a fan of chariots. Yeah. I'm a fan of ancient Roman chariots. This is a fascinating story. A Ferrari was pitched against a horse-drawn chariot.
Isn't it good for chariot drivers to get a Guernsey like this? Because, you know, yeah. a lot of people train, you know, for years running chariots, and it's very rare that you get a chance to race them.
No,
against
exactly.
another chariot, let alone a Ferrari.
I mean, unless only in reboots of Ben-Hur, which only happened once every 60 years.
I know.
Otherwise, the poor old chariot drivers get no races. But they did in this case, for reasons unknown, and unexplained in the news story, this Ferrari was racing a horse-drawn chariot around the actual chariot track that they use in the remake of Ben-Hur. Mm. Now, this is a contest.
So what did they think was going to happen? Let's just go through.
Yeah, which chariot, version of this was a fair race?
How many horses does a chariot have?
This one had two.
Two horses. So this is a 2-horsepower chariot. Mm. A Ferrari,
and
I can tell you.
One of them was a Shetland pony. So it's sort of one and a half.
And the other one was just like two men in a horse suit. So it really didn't have much chance.
A Ferrari, a standard Ferrari, has a 660 horsepower engine.
So a fair fight would have been to saddle up 660 horses in front of the chariot.
Yeah, would have been, yes.
Or 1,200 Shetland ponies.
Well, they could have given the two horses those 1,000 bags of Coke from the guy in the last story we were talking about.
So Andrew, just a spoiler alert for our listeners out there. Who won?
Yes, look, if you are keen on watching the video, do not listen to the answer. But amazingly, the 660 horsepower Ferrari beat the two horses
I'll tell you what, though, it was very popular.
Oh, so popular.
Huge event.
It sort of opened the minds of a lot of race promoters out there, sort of realizing that horse races don't just need to be between horses. Like, why not pit cars against horses in all sorts of meets, which they've done at Randwick this weekend.
All set to go here in the taxi versus horse 1600 metres handicap here at Royal Randwick. The stewards just having a little bit of difficulty getting the taxi into the gate, with the driver complaining that 1600 metres is too short a fare. But they've got him in there now, and they're under starter's orders. Away, the horse out cleanly and settling nicely, half a length back to the taxi driver who's still in the gate, just asking if he can finish his cigarette before he gets going. At the 100, it's still the horse leading, but here comes the taxi now, making its charge down the outside. It seems to be straddling the inside lane and the outside lane, rather than just picking one of those lanes and staying in it. At the 400, it's still the horse with its nose in front. A length and a half back to the taxi has just put on 2GB in the cab to give him extra motivation. He's a fucking idiot. He draws up alongside the horse, who understandably seems agitated by the 2GB blaring from the window. And I think she's got a whiff of the driver's BO as well, which has thrown her rhythm completely. Into the first turn, it's the taxi and the horse neck and neck now. And oh, the taxi's just pulled out in front of the horse without indicating. No indication whatsoever from the taxi. And now it's getting a dream ride illegally down the inside in the exclusive bus-only lane. With just 600 to go, it's the taxi. Three body lengths from the horse. A little further ahead, I can see someone on the track wanting to hail the taxi. This could be costly for the taxi. What's he going to do? It's a precious fare. Is he going to stop down and get them? No, it turns out to be an Aboriginal customer, so he refuses the fare. Into the final straight, there's people trying to hail the cab all over the place, but he doesn't seem interested, or he's simply not attentive enough to see any of them. And oh, what's this? He's pulled into a cab rank. He's joined the back of a cab rank that's 10 taxis deep, rather than keep driving to get a flag for fare. Unbelievable scenes here at Randwick. And now the horse is making gains. Here comes the horse down the outside with the Aboriginal customer riding behind the jockey. I'm glad someone picked him up. The taxi's still stuck in the cab rank. He could be there for hours. The driver's even got out of the car and gone to get a thick shake at Macca's. So it looks like the horse first, daylight second, and oh, what's this? An Uber's just come from nowhere and overtaken the lot of them to win the race. An unbelievable finish with Uber taking out the trophy. And for his efforts, I can see its driver rather shamelessly badgering his customer for a 5-star rating. Back to you in the studio. Radio Chaser.
Triple M. Just off the wires. You know that flasher, the guy at the Eurovision contest?
Oh, yes.
Oh, the stage crasher.
Yeah, yeah. So he's just announced his defence in court. He's facing 5 years in jail if he goes down. But no, apparently his defence is that his arsehole interrupting a talented singer was actually just him impersonating Simon Cowell. Radio
Chaser. Triple M. Triple M. This is Radio Chaser. The Sydney Comedy Festival is in full flight. Ursula Carlson is here. She's doing a show called Unacceptable at the Enmore Theatre today through till Friday. Hey, Ursula.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Not too bad. Enmore, nice gig.
Yeah, oh, no, wait. The Enmore's on the 1st of July. Right now, I'm just at the Comedy Store.
Oh, the Comedy Store?
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. But I read the wrong thing.
All, that all sold out so fast because Sydney people have just jumped on the bandwagon so hard that they nearly broke the back off it.
I'm so sorry that you said you'd come in and talk to us when you already sold out. So I misread the thing. Yeah, they're just adding details to your blurb by the minute as you do more shows.
The 1st of July, I've had to put on a show in the Enmore because I got some threatening emails from people in Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. No, you won't be safe unless you put some more seats out. So, like, yeah, okay, we'll go big. We'll go big.
Yeah. They get pretty angry about that sort of thing in this city. Like, if there aren't enough Ursula Carlson shows, boy. Yeah.
Because, you know, they spend a lot of time on hair and makeup over here. It's not like in Auckland where they just walk out and wait for the wind to fix it.
It's like there's three things that Sydney gets very anxious if there's a shortage of. I'd say cocaine, Botox, and Ursula Carlson shows.
Basically, you can get all of that at my show.
Yeah, that's a recipe for a top evening, I think.
It's eclipsed the housing shortage, actually. I heard Turnbull this morning saying the problem with Ursula Carlson shows is supply. It's just not enough supply.
Yeah. But we're building as we speak. Yeah. It's not a crisis.
Yeah, actually, like the model in the paper today, if you put several bags of Ursula down your underpants, good results will enter you. It's extraordinary the amount of coke in this town. I've never tried it. I don't really know what the fuss is about.
Yeah, I know. If I jump up and down on stage, people just go nuts. Powder all over.
Does it set the bar low, do you think, for comedians, if the audience have just, let's say they're in a bit of a different place chemically from what you might expect?
Yeah.
Can you tell up on stage?
Come on, I don't think I've ever done a comedy gig. You'd probably get a lot of booze and maybe some stoners. I don't think.
The
crowd is not going to comedy. They can't sit down long enough to listen to a lovely one woman show.
Yeah.
They're out at nightclubs in Double Bay or trying to get modelling contracts down anywhere but Mascot. Now tell me, Ursula, so you're not from Sydney, are you?
No.
Where are you based these days?
Okay, I live in Auckland, but I am from Joburg in South Africa.
So this is like a gift of an accent.
Yeah, it's a blend. I've got a bit of a hybrid going. I always say it depends on the amount of booze you put in me as to which way it leans. Yeah. Like if I'm just real aggressive drunk, then I sound very South African.
Mm.
If I'm that real laid back drunk, you know, or hungover, then I sound very Kiwi.
Yeah.
If I'm just hungry and agitated, then I'm a bit Australian.
We've been very amused by New Zealand politics lately with the new Prime Minister there, with the whole spaghetti on the pizza. Did you have a take on this? Is this a New Zealand cuisine thing?
I don't pay enough attention clearly to New Zealand. What happened that he put spaghetti on his pizza?
Okay, basically, I should give you a background because Bill English wasn't elected. I know you guys are very familiar with that kind of going on.
Yeah, we call that the normal system. Yeah.
It's just an interchangeable one. So we got him, and he's about as thrilling as watching a scone.
scone without any jam or good bits.
With nothing. Occasionally when there's a press conference, you see the camera just slowly rotating to a beige wall behind him because they can't find him. So he's made a pizza at home for the family, and obviously he's had a PR company come on board and gone, look, your beige is anything. Let's get some, you know, action going.
Let's
so he goes, I'm cooking for the family. So I just bought these pizza bases and chucked spaghetti.
Tin spaghetti
on it, and that was dinner. If that was my dad, I would have walked out of the house.
There was almost a constitutional crisis over this. Like New Zealand almost fell apart. But what I loved about it is that, you know, having done quite a lazy sort of attempt at just opening a tin of spaghetti and pouring it on a pre-made pizza base, he tried to add garnish. So then he put pineapple chunks in amongst the spaghetti. Right. That was his one sort of MasterChef addition.
Yeah. People hated him more for that.
Is that what makes him not beige? Because the rest is all carb.
Yeah. Triple M.
Radio Chaser. At this point in the show, we do a game. I found a whole bunch of real news stories.
Yeah.
Things that people have invented or come up with or something like that. And
Hang on. Real news stories that people have invented.
Are they real news stories?
Which one is it, Tom?
Okay, these are actual things that people have come up with and brought to the world, and I want our panel to tell us, are they...
Cat's pyjamas or...
Cat's piss.
It's a highbrow show, isn't it?
Yeah.
The look of mystery on your face.
Which one would be correct?
which one is? Yeah.
In New Zealand, which one's correct?
Like, which one's good or bad? Cat's pajamas, cat's piss. That's the
cat's pajamas would be better.
Yeah. Cat's pajamas is good.
Okay. Just checking.
Cat's puss.
I'm not sure.
In New Zealand, you love cat's piss. I know. You think that's better than the pajamas? No. In Australia, we like pajamas.
Okay. Good. Okay.
Whether it's cat's piss or cat's puss, it doesn't matter. They're equally bad. First story. Chanel has created a boomerang with a Chanel logo on it, which costs $1,930. Is that cat's pajamas or cat's piss? It's part of their luxury sports collection. Tennis rackets for $2,000, beach balls for $5,000. Pack of four tennis balls for $600, Charles.
This is just cultural appropriation. Like, you know.
What, the beach balls or the.
No, boomerang. A Chanel boomerang.
Yeah.
Like, this is just absolute. This is cat's piss. Out of the water cat's piss.
Yeah. Is that because you're concerned that, you know, the Aboriginal culture is appropriating the French?
That's right.
Exactly. It's quite offensive to French culture, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. You know, it was the French who invented making things really overpriced, and now Aborigines are just copying that.
Yeah.
Clearly.
This is a typical sort of Twittle far too late to the outrage party. Chanel's actually been doing this for 6 years and only someone's just noticed now. So it's kind of a very old story. I think it's cat's pajamas. I'm all for it. I think it's wonderful because you can use this boomerang to throw it at the designer at Chanel who came up with the idea.
Are there lots of returns?
Like, hey!
It's probably
Dad's
in the news.
In the house.
Someone finally bought one after all these years. What do you think, guys? Like cat's pajamas or cat's piss?
I'm leaning towards cat's piss just because well, it sort of goes hand in hand with a perfume, doesn't it? So I'm going to say it's cat's piss. It can't be. That's too expensive.
Yeah, so it or perhaps Chanel number two.
Yeah.
Andrew, what do you think?
I think absolute cat's pajamas. I mean, you know, I think they've improved the original boomerang, which was meant to be a weapon,
yes,
by adding a whole lot of sharp, spiky jewels and diamonds. I mean, yeah, that's a boomerang that's going to hurt.
Yeah,
it's you. I think
you'd bring a cockatoo down with that, wouldn't you?
Would imagine the cocky. He would not be in good shape after being hit with a Chanel boomerang.
Well, I think the panel's divided on that one. Next story. This is from the Huffington Post, the source of all authenticity. Apparently, seniors are being treated currently with a therapy pig in South Florida. It's a certified therapy animal who is at an assisted living facility in Palm Beach Gardens. The nursing home residents and even the nurses just love her. Apparently everyone walks in and they can't believe there's a therapy pig in there. Chris, what do you think, cat's pajamas or cat's piss?
Cat's pajamas. This is fantastic. And I know this works. I know firsthand. And I think Mark Latham's wife was very unwell for many years, but after living with a pig, she's turned the corner.
Hey.
No, I think you see this a lot on planes, funnily enough. Have you ever noticed people in America, especially, who have a chronic fear of flying, they're allowed to bring animals onto the flight because it helps them relax? So I really do believe in the therapeutic value of an animal, especially a pig, and on a plane situation, when the airline food is so bad, if you're also allowed to bring a rotisserie and you can have bacon, you can have roast pork, it's cat's pajamas all the way.
Next time I fly, I might actually just bring a massive eagle along with me just in case the plane goes down. I'll be fine. What do you think, Ursula? Cat's pajamas or cat's piss?
It's
the therapy
definitely,
pig?
Definitely cat's pajamas on that one. Because I'm, as I say, like, if I had a therapy pig and I feel real down, you know, you just get into it, you heat it up a bit, you know, you're baking it, maybe crisp the outside. No, I can definitely see how
you,
that
you can only it. Really pull that trick once.
Yeah, it's like a single usage therapy pig.
I know, but I'm sure you can get some more.
You can get more pigs.
Yeah. Like if I need deep therapy, deep fried.
Head down to the piggery at the start of the week. How many have you got? I'm feeling really bad this week. Yeah. Give me a dozen.
Yeah.
I guess there are some of us who saw that adorable movie, Babe, and thought it warmed all of our hearts and cheered us up. In your case,
nothing.
You just thought dinner. That's
cheered
you up in a different way. All right, Andrew Hansen, what do you think?
Oh, look, I think it's cat's piss. I mean, I'm always very concerned about animals, as you know. I mean, has anybody asked the pig, you know, whether the pig wants a therapy geriatric to look after him for his stress? No, they have not.
Well, apparently Blue the pig is drawn to the people at the nursing home. It's as if they know how much they need her. So she's a bit of a sweetheart, this pig.
Oh, right. Oh, they know all that by interviewing the pig, do they? Sure.
Cat's piss.
It's probably just glad it isn't getting eaten. Charles, what do you think?
This is cat's piss. Pigs actually have the intelligence of a three-year-old. They're actually like a toddler. Mm. And I reckon having a toddler around you all the time would be horrible. Everyone knows toddlers are just really annoying things. Cat's piss.
At least you wouldn't notice the old person smell, I suppose, with a pig around. Now, final story here from news.com.au. This is something that's happening in Japan. As part of a sumo tournament, they try and have some other spin-off events every time.
There's pajamas. I don't even need to hear the story. You had me at sumo.
Sumo spin-off. Spin-off.
So what they do...
What's that very thin people do?
Sumo wrestlers hold up toddlers wearing tiny sumo belts. Yes. And the attempt of the competition is to make the babies cry. And the more... This is absolutely true. No. The more tears that are shed by the babies... the better health the baby is. Apparently in Japan, they believe it is healthy for kids to cry as much as possible. Charles, you've got a few little boys that could be potentially held up for this competition. Cat's pajamas or cat's piss?
Well, this is cat's pajamas, but not because it's a particularly nice thing to do, but just because imagine how much revenue you could make off YouTube putting up cute videos of, you know, little toddlers in their little karate outfit or, you know, sumo wrestling outfits. That's cat's pajamas.
I want to see that. Yeah. I need to see that.
Yeah.
I need it to be true so bad.
And even if it's wrong, it's sort of right
it's
in
still
a way.
Right. I've got an 8-month-old back at the hotel, and as soon as I get back, I'm putting a towel on him and holding him up.
It'll
be on YouTube this afternoon.
It goes back for 400 years, and it's believed by Shinto priest here quoted, apparently the cries of babies drive out demons and protect the infants from troubles. So get the crying out of the way and you'll be safe, Chris. Has that worked for you?
Look, I think I'm cat's piss on this, because isn't the whole beauty of sumo wrestling, traditional sumo wrestling, is that it's very large grown men dressed as babies? Like, you know, the sumo outfit is basically a nappy, isn't it? And if you're suddenly becoming literal about this and having real babies in the nappy, I've sort of lost interest in sumo altogether. So I'm cat's piss.
It's a switcheroo.
Andrew, finally, what do you think?
Yeah, oh, well, look, I think it's cat's pyjamas, but what I'd prefer to see is that kind of pub sumo version of that they have at the Gold Coast, you know, where you can actually put on a rubber baby suit and just smash each other to death on the pub floor. That's what I want to see.
We should just clarify, too, that the baby is under no distress during this whole sumo thing. And if they are, they give it a little pig at the end of the fight.
Hey, Ursula, thank you very much for coming along and playing the game with us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having
catch
me.
Catch her show, Unacceptable, at the Emore Theatre, Saturday the 1st of July. Radio Chaser. Triple M. In France, it's pretty good being a labourer in France, isn't it? You 35-hour week, lots of pay, good health care, and they've just come up with a new right for workers, the right to disconnect. Mm. The idea being that after you're taxing 35-hour working week, when you're not actually on the job, you shouldn't be expected to check your email at any point, take calls. We have France. In fact, France's Minister of Workplace Relaxation on the line, an amazing job. Pierre Dubois is with us. Pierre, hello.
Bonjour, but I am sorry, I cannot talk to you now. My contract says I cannot take phone calls after office hours.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can we call you back, perhaps, during office hours?
No, my contract says I cannot take phone calls during office hours either.
Well, Pierre, can you just quickly tell us about the new law? I mean, why did France bring it in?
Well, you know, many workers were reading emails after hours when that is the time, of course. They should, in fact, be making love to another man's wife or staring moodily through a plume of cigarette smoke.
Yeah, but was there an expectation, a pressure to read email after hours?
Oh, oui, bien sûr. The workday in France, too busy for email. You have to fit in a four-hour lunch break. You know, you have to go on strike before lunch. And after lunch, you have to make love with your gorgeous boss on top of a croquembouche. The only time a French person could read email was after all of this exhausting work was complete.
And this right to disconnect law, it's a brand new concept, isn't it?
Not really, no. It's based on an old French law for soldiers, saying they are not required to fight during battles.
Can I also just ask you very quickly, Pierre?
I should not be talking to you outside hours. The policeman from the Yoplait commercials with the outrageous moustache will arrest me if I continue.
Just very quickly, do you think other countries might follow suit and ban online work?
Well, Australia has already banned online work. It's called the NBN. Radio Chaser.
Triple M. Big pay dispute between Australia's cricketers and Cricket Australia. The Ashes series is in jeopardy if they don't come up with a deal. Davey Warne and the other players have said that they might even just walk off and not play in the Ashes. Cricket Australia have been having a bit of a think. They come up with a solution just in case the players aren't available next summer.
All the players are on strike. So Cricket Australia has recruited a team of beach cricketers they found down at Coogee to take on England in the Ashes. You won't even notice the difference.
Right now, oh, Cook hits a beautiful shot through cover.
Oh, there was it. Too busy checking out Tinder on his phone.
So Cook scores another four, taking his total to 280. This is an
all the rivalry.
An interesting one. Kevy comes up to bowl. Ball in one hand, stubby in the other. Oh, and he's forgotten to let go of the ball.
No. That's just a trick Kevy uses. Now he's bowling the ball while Cook looks away.
And he's bowled him. Oh, what a change in fortune for the Australian side. A huge wicket. The Aussies have put themselves back in the game. England now 1 for 820 after 40 overs. That is
using all the technology you know and love.
Bowl. Stuart Broad comes into bowl for England and very first ball. There's a shout out for caught behind.
Oh, that's going to be close. Let's go to Snickle on that.
Oh dear, it seems like the ball did indeed catch the piece of wood that Wazza's using as a bat.
But there seems to be confusion on the field. Wazza appears to be claiming you can't get out for a golden duck.
Well, you know,
every no ball bowl.
This one like I have, but the Aussies have set a rather unusual field. There are no fielders on the onside.
Well, they are used to having the ocean do that job for them.
And the drunk guy hogging wicketkeeper wants to bowl the next over.
Well, it's traditional in beach cricket to allow the wicketkeeper a turn to bowl.
Looks like he's not even taking off his pad.
He runs up to the crease and... Oh, dear!
Oh, dear. Oh, the ball has veered off slightly to one side and hit Joe Root in the head and he's out cold.
Well, any young kiddies watching, there's a lesson there. When you're bowling, take off your gloves.
Mind you, that might not be a bad strategy. The only chance Australia possibly has in this Ashes series is to kill the English team.
Ashes 2017. None of the players you know and love. Coming this summer to an empty cricket ground near you. Brought to you by the greed of Cricket Australia.
Radio Chaser. Triple
M. A lot of us use smartphones. A lot of us use Siri, the voice-activated assistant on Apple's phones. Turns out that in an emergency situation, Siri can actually be really, really useful.
That's right. A New Hampshire man has actually been saved. His life has been saved by Siri. He got caught in a house of burning fire. His hands were completely burned, so he couldn't use the thing. And so he just used Siri to call the emergency services by talking to it. It's an extraordinary story. It saved his life.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing that it worked so well in that case. Doesn't always work quite that well.
Help! Siri, I'm trapped in a burning house and I've cut my neck open. I need an ambulance.
I didn't quite catch that. Here is a list of children's playgrounds in your area.
Playground? What? Oh, no, why would I need a playground? No. I need an ambulance, you stupid phone.
Would you like me to add, I need an ambulance, you stupid phone, to your contact?
No!
Adding contact now. Is there anything else I can help you with?
Okay, look, dial 000.
To dial 000, please dial or say the number you wish to call.
No, 000!
The ice cream shop, Sub Zero, is currently closed. Would you like me to remind you to call it when it opens?
Oh, no, okay, all right. How do I staunch arterial bleeding?
Here's a Wikipedia entry on Grey's Anatomy.
What?
Grey's Anatomy is an American medical drama television series.
Ah, damn it! Oh, God. All right. Oh, well, I'm about to die, so show me some porn.
Messaging your mother, show me some porn. Sent.
Ah! That's not a good way to die.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
I can't believe we've gone this long into the show and we haven't mentioned Donald Trump. That's very unlike us.
So look,
I don't know if you saw this in the news. Trump gave a speech last night praising hope, unity and charity, who I believe are the three prostitutes who he hires to piss on him in Russia.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
A new segment, we call it Crackpot Crackdown. Three stories, Crackpot Crackdown. We're hunting for crackpots. You know how basically about 50% of news stories these days are basically a new study has found. Yeah. Experts say, and if you follow, for instance, whether alcohol is good for you or not, about every day there are about six new studies, some saying yes, some saying no. We've got to find out how convincing these studies actually are. So I've got a list of some things that have just been published. The first one, and this reminded me of you actually, Chris. Mm. According to a new study, house proud men are on the rise. Three quarters of men in a recent study say that they have a newfound interest in interior design. 90% of women, but 74% of men. Chris, how did they get your number?
Why do you think this? Why does this remind you of me?
I've been to your place. It's neat.
For the listeners.
But why do you think I'm responsible for the neatness?
Chris has very defensive body language at the moment.
He's folded his arms. I remember when you were a single man back in the day, I was very impressed by the thought that had gone into your decorations. You were there early, I think, on this train.
Yeah, look, well, I was very lucky to live in a little studio apartment, effectively, which was only 1 by 1 square metre. So it was quite easy to decorate. It was just one chair. Yeah. And I tried to keep that chair very neat. This was really big in the 90s. Remember the whole metrosexual thing?
And Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
People got a lot of mileage out of sort of almost ribbing men for being clean and for caring about not having bacteria and rodents run through the house. I think it's just normal. I don't think we need to sort of make fun of me for not having, you know, fungus growing out of every sinkhole in my property.
What
do your places look like?
It's because of Instagram. Everyone's gramming pictures of their place and they want it to look pretty cool.
Oh, they want it to look good. I mean, I take issue with you, Chris, though. I mean, I know you're a big champion of cleanliness in the property, but personal cleanliness is not your strong point. I mean, I've known Chris for over 20 years and I know that you haven't washed in that time.
Well, I'm too busy cleaning the house. There's no time to actually bathe.
Yeah, that 1 by 1 square metre won't clean itself.
I tried to use Mr. Muscle on myself the other day.
How did it go?
Andrew's absolutely right. He's kind of not exaggerating. I'm not someone who takes showers. I kind of don't believe in them. I think washing your hair is totally unnecessary. So when I am cleaning the house, I will try and combine it with so I might use something like Mr. Sheen as my deodorant.
You need something strong. You need like real grout cleaner between up your butt crack. And, you know, Windex in the eyeballs. Because, I mean, you are filthy.
Maybe instead of that shower body gel stuff, I just use a Jif. Just cover myself in Jif.
What's the stuff called? Gumption. Use that for toothbrush,
If you start telling people you're Jiffing yourself, people might be referring to something else. A second study here. This is very interesting. Apparently, according to researchers at Long Island University in Brooklyn, they did a test where they proved that swearing makes you stronger. If you repeatedly shout a swear word while exercising, you are much stronger at the end of it, which I guess explains why so many talkback announcers get into trouble.
Yeah, and that's why my gym is a very, very rude place at the moment. This is caught on, and all I hear are F's and C's at the gym. Even my daughter, she's only 5 months old, I take her to Gymboroo, and all the babies are swearing at the top of their lungs. It's quite a sight.
What do babies learn to swear earlier than they learn to talk?
Oh, well, they do nowadays.
What's the first word your daughter uttered?
I can't say it on the radio, Chris. I can't say it
that
on the radio. Yeah, it was swearing and it was in French, so it was even worse.
Oh.
Yeah, it was even more offensive.
The first word that my son ever learnt to spell was poo. P-O-O.
Well, that's a swear. That's a swear.
And the thing, because they do Siri now, you know, like you can actually make Siri say whatever you want, you know, whatever you type.
Yeah.
And so he's learned all the swear words, like shit and poo and all the sort of more rude ones which we're not allowed to say.
So he's totally qualified to be on the grill team on Triple M.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
It's interesting, though. I mean, I love the idea of these tests. Like, who dreams up the idea of let's see if swearing makes you stronger and gets funding to actually do that?
My theory on this is that all of these studies are just commissioned by radio breakfast teams. That is the only people who ever look at these studies, who ever get content out of them.
Right.
No scientist is spending more than 2 seconds on this, whereas every radio team in the country gets 4 mic breaks.
In fact, our show tomorrow is just going to be studies from experts. Don't miss it. It's here. Catch you tomorrow.
More bullshit then.
Bye now. Radio Chaser. Triple M.